Okay, sure will. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so amazed at your grace. We're so thankful for the community of believers, Lord, and for the way you use us to encourage each other. Lord, we're most encouraged because of your unfailing love for us, and your compassions are new every morning. So we rejoice in this day and praise you for your amazing love and your power and your wisdom. And Lord, we thank you for each other and pray that you would just give us extra strength and wisdom to honor each other and encourage each other and serve each other. Lord, we pray especially for Ken, that you give us wisdom in helping him. Lord, we all desperately need your help and your provision. And so we praise specifically for Ken today. And Lord, we pray for those who are out of town, and especially John and Judy. Pray that you bless them. Lord, we thank you for Benny and Belinda and for their love for you and for each other and for this class. And Lord, we pray that you would use Benny to teach us, to build us up, to so that we know you better and love you more. Jesus, in your great name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, it's great to be back with you. Our sixth different study on Designed by God. And today we're going to spend the whole time on understanding your personality. And not only your personality, how do you understand other people's personality? And then how will that benefit you, benefit them? And it's to me, as you really understand how God has shaped and made and designed each person, you're able to relate to them so much better. And also, it really helps our relationship with God. So I believe this lesson is really one of those that's a lot of fun because we get to look at different details. We're going into a lot of details of just really how do you know your personality and others. But it's also an impactful lesson. I believe it really does help us understand how can we even walk with God in a more personal way, and in how do we walk in the Spirit? You know, what are our biggest challenges from our God-given temperament here in a fallen world, and as we still battle with our own flesh? And so there's a lot of good little nuggets in here, I believe, that will help us all walk with the Lord and also walk with each other in the midst of a fun lesson that I find is a lot of fun. Well, as we begin talking through this, our second lesson on personality, I want us to go back and read Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16, which I read last week as well on personality. But that is our really foundational passage on our personality and even on our makeup. So let me read this, and then we're going to talk through just a few principles and thoughts, and then we're going to get into really understanding the different temperament types using the DISC today. So Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16. This is a psalm unto the Lord, and says, "For you, Lord God, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." Just a few thoughts, a few principles to key principles as we that we'll have as a foundation for this lesson. Again, God designed and made each person just as he wanted and for his glory. I've said this probably three or four times each of the last five lessons, and we'll keep saying it. Because we need to know without a doubt, it's the Lord God who designed and made each person. And he didn't do it for you or for me. He didn't make us for ourselves. He didn't even make us for the other people around us. No, he made us for himself, for his glory, for his great plan, for his kingdom. And so praise the Lord that he has designed you and all those around you and all your circle of relationships. He's made each one just the way he wanted. Therefore, there's no best personality type and no worst personality type. You may look at yours and go, you know, I think my personality type's the best. Or you may look at yours and go, I wish I was another. But we should do neither. We need to know that it's God and his great wisdom has made us, and that there's no better personality type and no worse. They're all made by the Lord, for the Lord. And Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, we, as the children of God, we need to accept and love and encourage one another, no matter how different that other person is from us in their temperament and their personality. We need to work hard to walk in the Spirit and trust the Lord to give us the ability and strength where we, from our true heart, can really love others so that we can encourage and build them up in Christ. As I said earlier, knowing our personality will really help us understand ourselves better. It'll help us understand why we do what we do and why do we think a certain way about situations when they come up, or why do we feel the way we feel, or why do we not feel the way that others seem to feel. Some temperaments are much more on action oriented, and they're like, why is everybody freaking out? We just need to do something, you know? And then others may be like, they're so insensitive. They don't care about people. We need to consider people before we do something. But anyway, knowing our personality will help us understand why we do what we do and why others do as well. And then knowing your personality will help you understand and relate to others, as I just said. And then knowing your personality will help you be more effective in serving Christ. And really, it'll help us experience that joy, that abundant life that God has given us in Christ Jesus, in our walk with the Lord. We will have joy when we understand more of who we are and who others are, and can walk in his walk in the Spirit. It will really help us experience that abundant life. Well, a few more thoughts on just interpreting your disc, or interpreting your temperament, or really figuring out how you're wired or how God has made you. Here's a few thoughts on that. Your personality or your temperament. And when I talk about personality, I'm talking about your basic temperament. Some people, when they talk about personality, are talking about the total of who you are. That's what I would talk that about, your design or your shape. But when we're talking about personality today, we're talking about that God-given temperament that he gave you and me at birth, and that we will keep that temperament all of our life. Now, we grow, praise the Lord, and we become more like Jesus as he's perfecting us and shaping us by his Spirit. And so we do have other things that come into our life. And but yet our basic temperament stays the same. And no two people are identical, even when they have a similar personality. You know, I say I came out as a ID, and somebody else is an ID, and we kind of go, but we're a whole lot different. That's just God's unique design of each person. Most people have a combination of two of the temperament types, and they have a primary temperament type and a secondary temperament type that influences the other. We'll talk a little bit about this, of some exceptions, in a minute, but that combination does change how that comes about, along with really other things, which we'll talk about. Each person is a unique individual and will not portray every description listed in those primary and secondary temperament areas that we're going to read in a minute, that I sent you in the booklet, the disc booklet. You won't have every one of them. You may go, well, I have some of these, but not all of them. that's the way it is. It's just, those are there to help us identify our temperament, but not all are going to be there. And then also, it's really good to read each one of the descriptions of the four different DISC temperament types. One, it will help you validate if you took that survey, to help you validate if that's really how you came out. When you read through it and go, okay, yeah, that's me. Or you may go, you know, I think I'm a little bit more this one instead of how I came out. Well, that's just as valid as taking the survey when you read through it and do your own little survey and you can determine it. Another good thing is those who know you really well, your siblings, you know, a parent, you know, you can go to them and say, hey, read through this stuff and tell me who you, what do you think I'm mostly like as I was growing up. And if they tell you that's a very valid way to also go through this. Well, as we go through and understand our basic temperament type, here, this is a good little diagram that I borrowed off the internet. I didn't draw it or come up with it. It's diagram out there on DISC. There's tons of them. If you looked it up on the internet, there's a bunch out there. But this one really illustrates what I wanted to illustrate today. You notice here in this circle, you see the D and the I and the S and the C are all in the circle. You also notice that there's four different quadrants in this circle. And to just get an overview before we go into the details, notice there's a horizontal line right here, you know, through the middle. And then there's, you know, a vertical line as well, going from the top to the bottom here. So if you see this horizontal line right here, going through the middle, the D and the I are above that line, and they then would both be active in initiating temperaments. Okay. And then the C and the S are below that middle line, and they're going to be more responsive in their temperament, more reserved and responsive, reactionary often in their temperament. And then you look at the vertical line here, and on the left side, you see the D and the C. They're going to be more task oriented. They're going to gear towards task, where the I and the S are going to be people oriented. So when you take this, you can see that the D, being both in this quadrant, they're going to be actively initiating toward task. And then the I is going to be actively initiating towards people. The S are going to be more responsive, but they're going to be responding to people or highlighted in their life, and they're going to be more about people. Where the C is going to be more reserved and responsive, but they're going to be about task, generally getting it right. And so we're going to walk through these details of this. But before we do, I want to go ahead and acknowledge something. There's probably all four different temperament types and then a combination of each one on this particular Zoom and on this listening to this lesson. And if you're a D, you're like, why do we need to go through more details? That's all I need to get what I got to get done. That's a waste of time. Well, for you, I would say, hey, the more you understand each one, the more you can accomplish, the more you can get done. You go, all right, it's worth it. Well, the I may go, if we're going to go through the details, can I go get me another cup of coffee? You know, that's a lot of stuff. Let me get a cup of coffee and then I'll be ready. Well, for the I, I'd say, hey, when you really understand each temperament, then you can influence people. You're able to communicate to them so much better. You're like, okay, I'm in. The S, you know, you're not going to say anything except you'll probably encourage me and thank you for doing that. I need that. And, but as you study and look at these details, you'll be able to build even deeper, better relationships with those that you care about and love. How about that? You're in. And then the C. Hey, give me the details. I'm ready for them. You know, it doesn't bother you at all. Now, one thing will happen. You'll probably help me organize a little better. You might find my typos. And for that, I really appreciate it because I need that. And we all need that. So anyway, just a little fun there as we dive into these four different personality types and go through the details of them. First, let's look at the D in the DISC. We're just going to go in order of D, I, S, and C. The D is a doer. That's what it stands for, being active and task-oriented. A few words that would describe the D personality is they're direct, they're decisive, they're demanding, and tend to be more dominant. Well, the high D score indicates that you initiate to accomplish tasks and to solve problems. This person is results-oriented, independent, competitive, and has a direct communication style. Some of your strengths, if you lean more towards a D or you came out that way in your survey, your strengths are that you're visionary and productive and practical. You're decisive, persistent, and you have some leadership qualities that others recognize. Now, some weaknesses, areas that we need to grow in are you can be driven, domineering, stubborn. You can be so aggressive that you can forget to consider other people's feelings and thoughts. Now, growth areas, and I'm going to do the same thing for each temperament. Growth areas that a D would have is to learn to be more patient, to be less controlling, to be more flexible, to have deeper concern for people, to serve others or the service of others, and to show your love for others. These have love for other people. They just might tend to be so task-oriented that they don't show it quite as much. But you need to show your love that you do have for other people. Well, some Bible characters. We're going to go through each temperament and highlight, three, four, or five Bible characters. And this is so that you can go and you can do a character study, a Bible character study on these different people and learn more about yourself even by doing that and how you saw these people grow in Christ and how you could be encouraged to grow in Christ. Some D's in the Bible that were predominantly D were Paul. Nobody doubts that. Lydia, Solomon, Sarah, and Joshua. So these are some Bible characters that were D in their temperament. Their personal motivation for a D is to be, they're results-oriented and they like challenges. And their desire that the D would have is for freedom and authority, to have choices, to have an opportunity to achieve. If you have a D person, a person in their temperament's predominantly D that you relate to, then here's a little help for you to relate better to a D. And we all do. So how do you relate good to a D? What are some helps? And I'm going to do this for each temperament as well. You want to provide direct answers. What I mean by that is give them the bottom line up front and then give them the details. You know, help them know, hey, here's what it's about, and then give the meat on the bones after that. Sticking to business. They like to stick to the task at hand and the business. Stress logic when you're discussing things and show them respect. Now, we are to respect all people, but a D's temperament, they tend to see a lack of respect a little quicker than other temperaments. And when you don't respect them, then that really has a huge influence on your relationship with a D, and they will kick into their these normal areas to how they relate. I know that personally. So anyway, there you go. There's a D. Now, what about the I? The I is an influencer. They're active and people-oriented. They're inspiring, influencing, impressing, and interacting. Those are just some key words about an I temperament. A high I scores indicates that you initiate to people. You love to be with people, and you love to influence people. This person is people-oriented. They like to help other people. They like recognition, and they're very verbal. Their strengths, they're outgoing, They're influencers, friendly, optimistic, trusting, persuasive, and compassionate. Their weaknesses, they can be too optimistic. They can prioritize being liked over being responsible. They're not a good listener because of over-talking. Or maybe they're waiting, they're kind of waiting and they can't wait to say what they're thinking they want to say. And so you're talking, but they're locked and loaded, ready to go. And so have a little struggle listening sometimes. They desire for approval and they fear rejection. Now, growth areas for you, if you're an I, is to learn to listen to others and hold to deadlines, not to be overly optimistic, and develop discipline in your life and set deadlines to complete tasks and be careful with your words. You will probably already guessed a Bible character who was an I when I was just going through this. You're right, Peter. Peter was an I, no doubt again about him. And then Rebecca and David and Abigail and Barnabas, the encourager Barnabas, all were I temperaments. And again, you could do a Bible study on these characters. Personal motivation is recognition and approval. Their desires is to motivate others, to verbalize ideas, to have friendly relationships and freedom from the details, you know. And then others relate best. So how do we relate best to those who are predominantly an I? Well, social involvement is being, you know, if you is to facilitate, encourage, be a part of, social involvement with an I is a great thing. That's a great way to relate, is just having that relationship and being a part of social activities. Freedom to express themselves. Let them just share. Don't try to catch them in the, you know, when they're saying something, when they say it, give it a little while. They'll clean it up or they'll tell you really what they're thinking later. So don't draw conclusions too quickly when they're talking to you or telling you a story or sharing their opinion, because they're developing it as they talk. They're generally verbal processors. And so we got to let them do that as their friend or their brother or their sister in Christ. And then recognition of abilities, just recognizing their abilities and giving an environment of fairness is important to an I. All right, what about the S? The S is the stabilizer, the steady person. Often you'll hear said the S personality and temperament is the glue that holds us all together, and that's so true. They're more responder in temperament, but they're people-oriented. A few words that would identify or describe an S in their temperament is they're stable, they're submissive, and they're specialists. The high S score indicates that you're people-oriented, and you're steady and you're a responding personality. This person desires stability and things that are more systematic, predictable, and does not like conflict nor an uncontrolled environment. You know, that would indicate that these are your basic characteristics or things that you prefer. Strengths is a high S is dependable and loyal. They're calm and easygoing, diplomatic, patient, caring, and a good listener. And then the weaknesses of an S temperament. They may internalize conflict or be overly sensitive. They may resist change or be fearful, indecisive, procrastinators, and can avoid people who are aggressive in their lives. And then growth areas. If you're an S, here's a few areas to grow in. Be more courageous. Trust God with change. Be more assertive. Initiate to people more. And share your thoughts and opinions more. As you go and you think about this S, that the S are those that we kind of remember that old commercial, when E.F. Hutton speaks, we all listen. The S is that person. They may not say a whole lot, but when they do, wow, is often filled with so much wisdom, but they don't share quality. So we need your wisdom. So if you're an S, please share a little more, because boy, do we need it. Some Bible characters that are S's in their temperament is Abraham. And you may go, wow, all right, I'm glad I'm an S. I hope you are. Each one of these, as you look at these Bible characters, they're like, wow, okay, this gives me some great encouragement. So other S's are Hannah and Nehemiah, Mary, the sister of Martha, and Timothy. A few S's in the Bible that you could study through. And your personal motivation for an S is relationships, appreciation, and stability. They desire identification with the group, consistent, familiar environment, areas of specialization. You know, when they work and when they're doing things, they like to be able to specialize in something. And then security of their situation in their life. Others best relate to an S. How do you better relate to them? Be friendly. Provide personal support. Use gentle words when you're communicating. Give time to adjust to change. Allow to work at their own pace whenever possible. So make sure you give them a clear deadline and then help them know they got time to get at it, and don't push them and shove them to get to that deadline. They're going to do their best to get there anyway. So we want to encourage them along the way. All right. So now what about the C? The high C person, the term or the title would be a calculator, more responder personality and task oriented. They are calculating, very competent, cautious, careful. I've heard conscientious as another C. Conscientious to the details and to help things be done correctly. A high C score indicates that you're task-oriented and calculating, and this person is systematic. They pursue quality. They're more cautious. They desire clearly defined and limited tasks and things that are more logical. They want things that make sense and that are logical. When you're communicating to a C, generally black and white in their temperament. Strengths, they're very organized. They're analytical. They're self-disciplined, industrious, and detailed-oriented. They help us get it right and get things done in a correct way and not to miss those things that we don't need to miss. The weaknesses, they can overanalyze things. While they're doing that, they delay decisions. They can be a perfectionist, unsociable, worrisome, can be critical, and fear failure. So those are some of the basic weaknesses of that C temperament. Some growth areas. If you're a C, here's some areas or ways that you could grow, is to develop relationships, develop some good relationships, to be more flexible, focus on the right things, not just on being right or that. So we want to focus on the right things, take more risk, respond more quickly, and be more optimistic. Some Bible characters that are C, Moses, there you go, Moses and Ruth, Elijah, Esther, and Luke, all would fall out more as a C as their primary temperament. And then their personal motivation for a C is correctness, quality, and to be right. Their desires is time to think about a situation. Give them time to think. That's what they want. Clearly defined task, the details, limited risk, precision and planning. They're going to ask the why questions. So they want those details so they can plan well and be prepared. Well, how do we best relate to a person that's C and their temperament? Here's some ways, some things that we can do to best relate to them. welcome discussing the details and welcoming their suggestions and ideas. Accept those why questions that they give. Don't feel threatened by them or think that they're asking the why questions because they don't trust you or believe in you. That's just who they are. So accept them as who they are and let them ask their why questions and do your best to answer. If you don't know how, then discuss it with them and ask them back and they'll give you their thoughts. And then give time to plan and to think. Give them the details as much as possible. And then give them clearly defined tasks. Make sure that you define those tasks. So that's the D, the I, and the S, and the C of just understanding and looking at those details of each one. Now, here's a few additional thoughts in our interpretation of our temperament and also others. One, as I said before, you're generally most likely a combination of two. Most people have a primary and then a secondary, but some don't. Some only have one. And so there is at least 16 combination, and I could count and have seen as many as 24. And just note when you do the disc, anything that's 10 or above would be something that's would be considered a primary or secondary in your temperament. Now, a few people are three-pointers, called three-pointers. That means they have three at or above the midpoint, and they all blend together. Dr. Eirich is one, and I've known others. If y'all know who Dr. Howard Eirich, he was our counselor here, counseling pastor here for many years. And then some people just have one predominant temperament by God's design. That's your temperament. You have one major one, and that's just how God made you. And that's all of these are fine. As the scripture said, our God has done those things well. Well, interpret your temperament with the shape filter. Don't overly emphasize your temperament above your spiritual gift or your abilities and talents, your experiences, your heart. Keep the shape in mind because each one influences the other. Your spiritual gift God gave you sometimes will complement your temperament, and sometimes it balances out your basic temperament. And the same thing with our life experiences. Sometimes mellows out a D or helps an S be more assertive because of different life experiences or different heart passions could give more inspiration to a C, and to be more inspiring to others than they might naturally be. So all of these things influence the other is what I'm saying. As we go through the next few lessons, we'll highlight that. And each Christian is growing more in the image of Christ and maturing. So we all have naturally we tend to probably have one that's major and one that's minor. But we all have some of all four because of Jesus in our life. The Holy Spirit's making us more into the image of Christ. Praise the Lord. And so we have some of the others, but our basic temperament, leans towards the same way. And do not use your personality as an excuse or a crutch. What I mean by this is sometimes I hear people say, well, I just can't do that. That's not the way I'm made. That's just not who I am. Well, you probably remember Moses saying that a few times to God, and it says God was angered at him. It's like, do you not know, Moses? I'm the one who made you. All right? And so we don't need to say, I can't do that, or that's not the way I'm made, or I am who I am, so just deal with it, We don't need to think that nor say that to anybody because, again, God in His Spirit, He often calls us to do things that are out of our comfort zone, and He will call us to do things for Him that make us rely upon Him. And so we don't want to use our temperament as a crutch. We do want to evaluate it, but not use it as a crutch or as an excuse or even overemphasize it. That would limit. Instead, we need to walk by faith in God and to know that he's going to call us to do things to give him the glory, not us in our own strength. Well, here's just a few more thoughts before we close. And this is more in relating to others in their personality. I would encourage you to learn others' personality and to work to relate to them from their God-given temperament. What I mean by this is to serve other people, you know, in how you're relating to them, whether it's at work, your boss, or those that report to you, or whether it's your friends in this Sunday school class or another, or in our church, or whether it's in the community, wherever it is, really have the perspective to serve them and how you communicate and relate to them, and don't expect them to serve you and how they relate to you. We need to serve others as God's called us to, in love, serve one another. And then also keep your view of others on their strengths and not predominantly on their weaknesses. And I find this in work relationships or home relationships, that too often we get caught up in our differences with others, and we're thinking about their weaknesses, and our prayer life is more about God changing them instead of going to God. And what I would encourage you to do is go to God in your prayer and pray for them and thank God for their strengths. Thank God for how he's made them and put them into your life, because he's sovereign God and he has a reason and purpose. And so concentrate on thanking him for that person, and become a champion of those around you and their strengths. Start developing this in your life to champion and encourage each other in their strengths. And remember that different isn't bad. I've said this several times. Different isn't bad. It's just different. And God's intentionally, intricately made each one of us different on purpose. And work to lovingly and caringly compliment others in their weaknesses with your strengths. Again, lovingly and caringly and humbly. I wouldn't lay it out there, well, I'm going to fix you. No, what I'm saying is, as we relate to each other, we can use our strengths when others are weak, and then let them use their strengths in our weaknesses. And understanding that really helps the body of Christ relate and work and glorify God. And then let's make sure that we're quick to forgive. Let's heap grace on each other. Let's be quick to forgive and slow to speak negatively about others and to others. Let's remember God's great grace he's poured out on us, and his mercy that he shows us and pours out on us every day of our life. And let's be that merciful, gracious, forgiving person of those around us. We all need forgiveness and grace and mercy. Let's be that one that gives it to those around us quickly and rightly and truly as we walk with the Lord and walk with one another. Well, these are some thoughts and some details about really understanding your personality, and also understanding others' personality. In just a second, I'm going to pray for us and close, and then we have the Borgers are going to sing, and then after that, I would love for you to share your temperament, your personality, and then also any questions that you have to the group. You can ask me, you can ask one another as we've had these great discussions after our prayer and song. I'd love to have that discussion together. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Father, we come to you and we thank you for how you have made us. Thank you for how you have shaped us. Thank you, God, for our basic temperament, and thank you for our brother in Christ, our sister in Christ, and how you made them. Father, help us to relate to one another well. Help us, God, to understand our weaknesses we tend to fall in, and that we would walk in the Spirit and not according to our flesh, and not fall to those areas of our flesh, but that we would trust you and walk with you. Help us to champion and encourage one another. And I do pray for each person here on this Zoom and those listening, that you would bless them, encourage them, watch over them, And I just pray that you would build them up in Christ. Thank you for today. Thank you for this time. In Christ's name, amen. Borgs.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, and know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide.
That's our gift, I guess.
Amen. A good one at that.
That was fabulous.
So pretty.
Mm-hmm. Question, Benny. Has there been any study done on which types work best together, say in a marriage?
Hey, I'm not going to talk about that, but I will tell you that, yeah, there is studies of which ones relate better and naturally together. In fact, I have like tons of sheets here. On different things. Let's see here. I do think that opposites can be great, but opposites can be challenging as well. So there are complementary, temperaments that work well together, but, I think God in his great plan, put people together. I don't think I said this. I may have in one of my lessons, but Belinda and I basically are opposites. So when we went to our pre-marriage counseling, I thought they were going to tell us we shouldn't get married because their faces looked so somber when they had done our temperament tests, and they kind of looked at us and they said, y'all could have some really rough times. And you may have some good times. You may have a combination. And praise the Lord for Belinda. We've had more good times. But I think that generally speaking, it sure would be great to have an S or a C with a D or an I, you know, because of just, you know, D's tend to really need somebody with more details around them to help them with those things. And then that S's are good for all of us because they, like I said, they keep the glue together and they keep us all together. They're the glue that keeps us all together. You know, I was looking for that sheet that says that basically the study. Let me see. All right. So it says usually a D will blend with an I and C, but has to really work with their relationship with an S. Usually an I blends really well with D's and S's, but they have to work on their relationship the most with a C. Usually an S blends really well with an I and a C, but they have to work on their relationships with D's. And then the C's blend well with D's and S's, but they have to work on being with an I. So what this highlights is probably the one that's the hardest for that temperament naturally, and if you kind of played it out, you could see that. But this is from a disc study. So there you go.
Could you send us a copy of that?
I can for whoever wants it. Does everybody want it?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, look, it was probably typed in the 70s or 80s when I first did this on a typewriter. So I'm going to scan it and send it. But, if you're a C temperament, I'm sorry. It's going to be It's just, it doesn't look good at all. So if y'all want to retype it and send it to me, thank you. But anyway, I'll scan it and send it to y'all.
Just ditto it and mail it to us, okay?
If you were a true D, you would fix that yourself.
The marriage thing, a couple of years ago, I guess about a year ago, my son David called and he said, I am so discouraged about my temperament, my personality type. And I said, why? And he said, well, I've been reading about processing and external processors and internal processors. And he said, I'm an external processor. And I said, well, okay, so you got to give me a little bit more. And he said, well, an internal processor makes decisions or processes like a spiral. They take a big concept and they just, as they think, they eliminate possibilities and they come to a decision point. And an external processor thinks like a zigzag line. They come to a decision and then they change their mind and then they change their mind and they change their mind and they end up with a decision. And I said, David, you have just explained 33 years of marriage better to me than anybody ever understood that. But I'm the internal and he's the external processor.
Do I change my mind?
Oh man.
She's internal.
Benny, has anybody ever done a study to determine what percentage of the population has these various attributes?
Great question.
It came to my mind that maybe if there were more S's in the world, the world would be a more placid place. I don't know.
You know, I have read one and studied it. I don't have it in this packet or what I'm looking at, but there actually is more S's than they are the others. So God in his sovereign plan knew that we needed more S's. So there tends to be more that have an S predominant in their temperament than the others. I don't remember the percentages of each one, but I do remember reading that and studying that at one time. If I do find it, I'll include it with the other, but I haven't found it this week.
I find that interesting because I would wonder if it changes generationally. Because, yeah, there may have been a time when there were a lot of stabilizers. We're in that time now.
Yeah, I don't
know. Good question.
I do think that, again, when you think of temperament, I think that I would say temperaments are, again, God-given at birth. And also remember, if you don't see a lot of those S's, they're not going to stand up and tell you they're an S. They're going to be the ones to lean back in the background, and you never even know they're there in those issues. They have thoughts and opinions, but they're not wanting conflict, and they sure aren't going to step out in the middle of, you know, major conflict going on right now. So they're probably there. They're just a quiet majority out there.
And Benny, yeah. I could see that this is useful as a tool in marriage. You mentioned sort of workplace and friendships. You know, I'm kind of unfamiliar with all this. I wonder how much you actually in daily life sort of have a vision of what each person around you is, and so that enables you to better interact with them. And if you do that, then why don't we just all have it on our Broadwood name tags? Wouldn't that make life a lot easier? So, but really, do you find that you sort of have a feel for who everybody around you is, how they shell out?
Do I have that?
Yeah. I mean, is that practical?
I will do this though. I'll be real careful not to, those I haven't seen their or they hadn't told me or I hadn't seen their inventory, I try not to make any quick judgment because I know I'm relating to them in snapshots, not video, you know, in their whole life. But yeah, I do. I tend to try to learn who people are so I can relate to them better in their temperament. Absolutely. I think that's, and you're right. I do think in marriages, that's in our, when we do any marriage counseling, we give this inventory along with, the one the counseling center gives, which is a very good inventory they give.
I'd like to jump in here if possible. Hi, this is Steve Willing. I teach a course in apologetics at Regent University, and one of the lectures I developed was on sexual apologetics. And the first principle in there is male-female differences. So I gave this talk at the Birmingham Reasons of Belief chapter a few weeks ago. But in so doing, the cultural narrative for the last 40 or 50 years is that male-female differences, personality differences, are purely social constructs. That's been a major cause under feminism. But the science has emerged, it's become very compelling in the last 10 or 20 years that there are indeed demonstrable innate differences between men and women. And this can be proved because they exist not only in humans, but in some of the higher primates. Males on the whole are going to be more aggressive, more risk takers. Women on general are going to be more empathic. And this has apologetic significance because it supports the biblical narrative and refutes what has been a prevailing cultural narrative for the last 40 to 50 years. It also has practical significance because complementarity is part of God's design. And things function optimally, whether they're households or families, child rearing, things function optimally when complementarity is present. And you need the both, you need the differences, and it's a very positive thing.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah,
thank you.
I would have loved to hear your talk.
So. Genesis 1 and 2.
1, 2, and 3, because the fall figures prominently.
Good point. Somebody else was going to say something.
This is Denise, and I had a job at University Hospital, and I was the controller, and my department was mostly accountants, which you can imagine they are mostly C's. And I actually brought this study into the department to help us get along better. But the thing that motivated it was we had a lot of time deadlines and a lot of stress in the department. And I had studied this, and different personality types handle stress differently. And at work, I was a total D. And it never dawned on me that somebody under a stressful situation wouldn't handle it the same as I would. You get it harder and faster, and you've got your eye on the goal, and you go for it like a steamroller. And we were working one day, and I found out later this lady was an I, and she was chatty. She was talking about her aunt and all this stuff, and I finally said, "Shut up, Melanie, and work." And so it really helped our department when we understood that eyes handle stress by getting chatty. And that never even dawned on me that somebody would be that. A C will just shut down on you. And I had one guy in my office. He was brilliant, especially on Medicaid. And if I put too much on him, he would call in sick. And it wasn't he was avoiding the work, but he just would shut down. And so I had to learn to temper my D and be more considerate of the other people that had different personality types.
Yeah, your S's got ulcers.
Yeah, I gave a few.
That's very helpful. Somebody else?
I was going to share, this is Nancy Battles. Our son worked for a company that actually took these tests and then assigned a color to each one and put those colors on their cubes and their offices. And he said it made a huge difference in how they talked and related with each other. And if he saw a yellow or saw this thing before he entered into a conversation or a whatever, it really was a tremendous help in relating to people within the department.
Someone chatted and said, we need each other. I don't know if they sent it to all of us or just to me, but that was a great point. We do need each other. Yep, it was to everybody. Good point. All right.
Okay, well, this is kind of off the subject a little bit, but
don't say anything about me again.
I know I wouldn't. I remember the first time I ever did this. It wasn't this personality test, but it was the Tim LaHaye temperament one. And it honestly felt very discouraging to me that I was so easily pegged, because I kind of thought of myself as being very unique. And then I read in this book and I was described pretty accurately and realized, man, a fourth of the population is kind of like me. And it really made me sad, to be honest. but then I remember for the first time it struck me, and this is kind of fresh in my mind because I actually was teaching on this passage yesterday, but the passage in Revelation 2 where, Jesus is giving the letter to the church at Pergamum, and he says to the one who overcomes, there will be a white stone with a name written that is only known, you know, to this person. It's something about that was so precious to me, that in God's eyes, I am unique and I am so special that he has a name that of all the billions and billions of his children, it's mine. And I just imagine, you know, as I've read about that white stone, apparently many of the commentators believe it was a token given to the victors of the games. And then it was an entrance to the award ceremony. And I just keep thinking, you know, that is going to be handed to me by my Savior, and it's going to be so intimate and so unique that to him, I really am one of a kind. That makes it pretty special.
Yeah. Right. You never told me about that.
Oh, sorry.
You are definitely one of a kind.
I think.
Yeah. In a great way.
Tim goes, phew. Okay, it made it everything quiet. Maybe I shouldn't have said
that. Great conversation piece, Peggy.
No, I think you're hitting on, I do think that it is, that's why, I think it's very important that we all do see the personalness of God's design of each one of us and you know, how he's made us and shaped us. You know, this isn't to pigeonhole anybody. And that's why I said, hey, there's 16, there's 24, and everyone's unique. But it's definitely not to pigeonhole or to say any one of us are perfectly any of these. But I think that's a great point. And also just, I was going to ask you, how have you worked through it? And so I'm so glad you shared that. That's very good. I appreciate that.
And I also think I've experienced this at work. There are not very many believers at work, and but I've seen how God can use. I mean, they have. They are in these categories, even and I've seen how God uses them to, in my life and the life of other people around them. And I had one friend who's, his laboratory is next to mine for 30 years, for more than 30 years. And, he came off as very negative and, but he's very calculated, very logical. And I just saw over the years that if everybody was like that, it would have been devastating. But if everybody was, overly optimistic and, then that doesn't handle all the problems that come up. And so a team needs to have, these distinct, dispositions and personality types for the team to work well together. And I guess that's sort of what Denise was saying too, but I've seen God use what you would say was a very negative person to build a team up in a very important way. Now he needed to learn to temper his negativism too. Anyway, we're all in teams and we will never accomplish what God wants us to without a great community of people, with different, personality types. Just so amazing how God created us.
Yeah, it goes back, Tim, to Russell's comment. We need each other. Period. Mm-hmm. Well said, Russell. Yeah.
Amen. I'm going to let y'all continue to talk through this and whatever else you want. I'm going to head on to my responsibilities for the next service, but really look forward to being back with you next week. This is such good fellowship. I love seeing your faces and being with you every Sunday. I really look forward to just being with you, period. And I know you look forward to being with each other. This is just a special class, community. And next week, we're going to talk through different talents and abilities and God's designing our talents and abilities. And I'll send you that outline during the week. And I'll also send this other sheet to you. You're going to laugh at some of that sheet because it has an overview of all kinds of things like, what is the motto of each one of these? Like, or what's their favorite song? So I'm just going to let you know that it's coming. The favorite song for the D, I did it my way.
Yeah.
The favorite song for the I, Celebration. Do you remember that song?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, we let the Borg sing, not me. But anyway, and then we go, the favorite song for the, S, Lean on Me. There you go. And the favorite song for the C is The Gambler. You got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. So there you go. So there's some other cute things on here and helpful things. So you can look forward to reading that when I send it. Hey, love you guys. Enjoyed it.
Love you too, Benny.
Be with you next week. Y'all have a great week.
Y'all.
Thanks, Benny.
Bye, Benny.
Thank you, Benny.